I want to ask the Holy Spirit to come. He's already here, but I just want to connect with him as a church, and let's just release him to do whatever he wants to and to give us ears to hear whatever he's saying to us. So, Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for that you're here. We're two or three gather in your name. There you are in the midst. And thank you for the worship where we could feel your presence, Lord, and just love on you today. And, Lord, we know you're not done. We want to connect with you and to see you use us, each of us, to release life to other people. We want to be conduits. So, Holy Spirit, we open ourselves up right now for you to speak to us, to help us hear what you're saying, and then also, Lord, just continue to stir up the gifts of prophecy in our lives. In Jesus' name. So I just thought of an announcement. We do have this Sunday, we do have church at the table. We're going to do some stuff at church at the table with the prophetic while we're fellowshipping together. But I wanted to tell you that. So what that means is that we're kind of coming towards the end of the prophetic training. We still haven't gotten through everything, but we want to. So I want to just kind of hit you with two different things if we have time. And if we do not have time, then you're going to get hit with one thing. We want to make sure we got time to do this stuff. So, all right. I want to talk to you a little bit about prophetic culture and having the heart of God in the prophetic and allowing the prophetic to help us to spur one another on into a higher place. God wants to take us higher. If you got your Bible, you can turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm not sharing anything really that we haven't shared before. But I feel like this is important to go over and make sure that we understand this and we grow in this, because it's such a foundation for growing in the prophetic. I'm going to go through this section pretty quick, and then I want to move on to talk about how to grow in the prophetic. So in Ezekiel 37, you see Ezekiel standing there, and God is coming to talk to him. And it says that the hand of the Lord was upon me. This is Ezekiel 37:1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. So they're not just bones, they're dry bones, all right? I mean, they've been there a while. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, thou knows." Again he said to me, "Prophesy over the bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to those bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. And I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, thus they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel." Okay, I want to take this passage. It's in one way, it's talking about one thing, meaning it's talking about Israel being restored as a nation. But there's a concept that runs through the heart of the prophetic, hearing God and releasing the prophetic words that God has to speak over his people. You know, One of the things that is real easy to do when we look at one another is to see the negative. All of us got like probably 40 or 50 easily spotted things that just aren't quite like Jesus yet, right? Right? Okay, I know I do. If you're staring at me long enough and watch me long enough, you'll see me do something that's probably not just perfect, right? That's the way all of us are. We're all got mess in us. And the heart of the prophetic is, you know, when we're looking at people, it's real easy. And even sometimes we can even see things prophetically about people that is not quite like it's both, like, you know, like Jesus. And so one of the things that was the test here for Ezekiel was that it's real easy sometimes to look at people and to see their dry bones, see the things in their life that are not what they should be. But if we really have God's heart, and if we're really functioning at the maturity that God wants us to be at in the prophetic, when we look at people's dry bones, we're not going to go up and say, "You got dry bones." Most people already know they got dry bones. But the test for him was to prophesy life to what he saw. He prophesied life. He spoke something that was not as though it was. Isn't there scripture about that? Call those things that are not as though they were. You know, there's something about calling people up into another place with the prophetic. And that's the heart of this thing that we really got to see. You got to know God's heart. Because if you don't know God's heart, that sword that he gives you can be a weapon to hurt people. But if you know his heart, then it breathes life on people. It calls them up to another place. And part of that is us learning how to see people the way Jesus sees them. I want to see you not as I perceive you to be in my carnal mind, knowing somebody after the flesh. I want to know you after the spirit. I want to see what God says about you. And so we look at Revelations 19:10. You can turn over there if you'd like. You don't have to. I'm going quick. And it says, "And I fell at the feet to worship him, and he said to me, 'Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" So the very spirit of prophecy, which means the very thing that's ushering the prophetic, us hearing God and releasing that word, is the testimony of Jesus. So the thing that's behind prophecy is Jesus's testimony. What is that? It's what Jesus has to say. Prophecy is what Jesus has to say, right? So what does Jesus have to say about us? You know, it's amazing when you look at Hebrews 11 and you see those heroes of the faith, it doesn't mention one negative thing, really. Abraham had quite a few negative things you could point out, but God saw the good. And so here's what I want to suggest to us. I want to suggest that we are to call people up to a higher level. Let's turn to Judges 6:12. Judges chapter 6, verse 12, and it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him." This is talking about, you know, Gideon. This is the story of Gideon in the book of Judges. I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior.' Then Gideon said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, and then has all these things happened to us, and where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about?'" So let me back up a minute. Where is Gideon when the angel shows up? If you're not remembering, Gideon was at the current time, the Midianites they had prevailed and were actually lording themselves over the children of Israel. Children of Israel had been in sin for quite a while. They had forsaken the Lord. And you know, Gideon is actually taking the harvest that he had collected, and he went into a wine press that was down in his little hole in the ground where he couldn't be seen, and he's beating the wheat out, and he's doing it secretly because he was scared of the Midianites coming and robbing what he had worked hard for. So at this very time that the angel shows up and calls him a valiant warrior is the very time that he's actually hiding from his enemies. Y'all catch that? Gideon is hiding from his enemies because he's scared. He's a chicken. And the angel of the Lord appeared, and he says, and this is what he declares over him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." How could he do that? How could he say to Gideon, "You're a valiant warrior," when he's done nothing to prove that? He's done nothing to be worthy of that. And I think that's the crux of the whole prophetic calling, is that we're called to declare who people are and call them up into that place. And that's what the angel did. He declared the word of the Lord over that person. So when we began to go forward in this thing, I want to look at every single one of you, and I want to see what God says about you. I don't want to see your struggles right now. I mean, that can be helpful if you can help them out of something, but I want to see, who did God create you to be before the foundations of the world? Who is Wayne? Who is this son of God that, you know, God has called? What has God called this brother to be and to do? How does God want to release and express himself through this particular child? That's true of every single person. We have something that God wants to release through every single one of us that express something about him that none of the other people can release. We have a unique calling, a unique expression, and we're not typically walking that as people, walking in the fullness of what we're called to do. And so the prophetic comes along, and we can be hiding in our place of fear, and the Lord shows up in a way and says, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." I've shared this testimony before. I remember this back in the late 90s. There was a guy that came into church. I knew him. And when I looked at him, I saw like this hunger in his stomach. And I knew it was a hunger for the Word of God. And so I just went up to him. I said, "Hey, bro, I just saw this incredible hunger on you. And you're just eating the Word of God up. You're devouring it. There's like this hunger for the Word of God." And he looked at me and thanked me, and that was it. You know, he didn't say much. And then the following week, when he came back to church, he saw me, and he did a beeline straight for me, and he said, "Oh my God, Travis," he said, "when you shared that with me last week, I had no idea what you were talking about. I have been less hungry than I have ever been in my life. I've not been reading the Bible at all, and you said that to me." But he said, "All week long, I have had this desire for the Word, and I've been spending like 3 or 4 hours a day reading the Bible all week, and I can't put it down." And he said, "I just want you to appreciate that. Release something in me." And I was like, "Man, that's powerful." I'm glad I got that. I'm glad he just said thank you on the front end, because that would have discouraged me at first. But see, that's the power of the prophetic, is that I declared something over him. Doesn't the Bible say it? The power of life and death is in the tongue. God created the whole world by speaking. And when we get revelation from heaven and we can declare over people what God's saying about them, it actually creates something in them, and it calls them up to a higher place. And that's a heavy weight, really. That's what a responsibility. But it's something that God's given us to do, is to encourage one another, to lift people up, to declare what the Lord is saying and what the Lord is doing, which requires us seeing past what we see with our natural eyes and getting a glimpse from heaven of what God says about a person. If you judge a person based upon what you see with your eyes, you're going to miss every time what God's saying. Remember Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Holy One that created all the world, that came into the world, and the world, you know, didn't receive him? His own people that were waiting for him, they didn't receive him. But he says, many did receive him, they gave the right to become children of God. He comes to his hometown, the people that knew him after the flesh, meaning they saw him grow up. And he comes to them, and he tries to minister to them, and it says that he could not do many miracles there because of their doubt and unbelief. And then it says, they said, "Are you not Joseph's son?" See, what they knew in the natural offended their mind to see what God was releasing through this person because they couldn't get past what they saw in the natural. And I just want to say that as we're growing in prophetic power, we have to get past what we see in the natural in one another and go to a higher level where we see, man, I see who you were created to be from the foundations of the world, and I begin to speak life into that and declare that into you. Does that make sense? Okay, so this is kind of taking us back to 1 Corinthians 14:3, where it says that prophecy, that one who prophesies speaks to man for his edification, his encouragement, and his comfort. Does that make sense? This is the heart of it. Now, does that mean we never see anything negative? No, of course not. Of course not. But we have to get this down so that we don't misuse and misunderstand the things that we may see that are negative so that we can always speak life into people and not death. When Ezekiel spoke life, even though that was a valley full of dry bones, when he declared and prophesied life, the valley became an army. And, you know, there's an army of the Lord that's arising. You know, there's an army arising. Well, how are they coming together? I think it's coming through the prophetic when we begin to declare what God's doing. So you have to forgive me. I've had a cold that I'm still, I'm through it, but it's still the residue. But I just wanted to touch on that. And then real quick, anybody got any questions about that? Does that make sense to everyone? We want to prophesy life. Go past what you see in the natural. Speak life into people. Learn how to love people even beyond where they're currently at. Just because somebody's in a particular place today doesn't mean that's where they'll be tomorrow. We have to have that heart of God. You know, and that's why there's a prophetic sandwich. Y'all know what it's a gift sandwich, really. Y'all know what a gift sandwich is? Huh? Well, no, that's true. That's what Jesus did in Revelations. That's true. I'm talking about the 1 Corinthians gift sandwich. You know, he starts off in 1 Corinthians 12, and he gives a whole chapter talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And then he spends a whole chapter talking about love and how if you don't have this one thing, love, all these chapter 12 don't matter. Chapter 12 is important. We got to have it. You know, Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, this is how we know that Christ has fully been in your midst, that you're not lacking in any spiritual gift. That's in 1 Corinthians 1. I think it's 1:2. So here's a church that is not lacking in any spiritual gift. And then he comes in and teaches on the gifts. And then he says, you got to have love. And then in the other side of the bread is 1 Corinthians 14. It says, pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts. So you got to have both, but you have to have love in the center of it. When love is in the center of the gifts, then the gifts function and operate properly. But when they're not, then they don't matter. If you're not loving, the gifts don't matter. But if you're loving, then the gifts come along and they can help so many people. They will absolutely help the body of Christ. We have to have both. And I remember Bob Jones saying something. He said, you can always minister to someone that you love. And what he was saying is that if somebody's in front of you and you're going to minister to them, it is essential that you tap into Papa's love for them and you begin to see them from his perspective. And I remember watching him, Bob Jones, minister to this lady, and I remember seeing somebody stand beside her that knew this lady and had seen this lady come from ministry like over and over and over and over again, and it was like she never learned. She would hear the words but not do it, and her life was a wreck, and she kept doing the same mistakes over and over again and then come back for more ministry. And, you know, the people that were on looking, they were watching to see what Bob was going to say about her. And what did he do? He spoke life over her. He began to prophesy. And Bob knew what was going on, but he kept speaking life over her and speaking to her calling. You never know which time's going to take. You don't know. We don't give up on people. So we keep prophesying life to the dry bones. We keep prophesying. So, anyway, that was part one. And now, real quick, I just wanted to give you a couple little things that we can do to help grow in the prophetic, and then we want to do this some more. All right? Everybody okay with that? Really? Everybody out late last night? All right. So, this is not an exhaustive list. I'm going to do this real quick, but four ways to grow in the prophetic, okay? Number one, and I think it's one of the most important parts of this, is hunger. You know, there is something about hunger. When you're hungry and you're really hungry, you're going to find something to eat. You're going to stop what you're doing and go whatever you got to do to go fill that craving that you have in there, right? I know I'm like that. When I get really hungry and I got to find some food, you know, I'm on a mission. Well, that's true with anything. And when we get a spiritual hunger, then we're going to be doing the same thing. We're going to be pursuing it until the hunger is satisfied. 1 Corinthians 14:1, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, right? So that word there is actually means lust. If you look it up in the Greek, it's lust. It's one of those few places in Scripture, maybe the only place in Scripture, where we have permission to lust after something, to desire it, to look at it, behold it. I'm like, I want that. That's always wrong, always, until you get to this. And it's right to earnestly desire spiritual gifts from the Father. And people say, well, we should seek the giver, not the gifts. We should seek the Father's heart. We shouldn't be pursuing. That's unscriptural. People that teach that, they teach in something that sounds good, but it's actually contradictory to what the Word says. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Earnestly lust after it. We have to be hungry. Jesus said, Matthew 7, if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. One of the things about that is in the Greek, it doesn't say ask. It says if you continually ask. Hello in there. Open up. Isn't that like the parable that Jesus said where the person from a long journey has come to this guy and he's got no bread to set before him. And so he goes to his neighbor's house and it's late at night and he starts knocking. He says, who is it? He says, hey, I got these people who's come to my house and I don't have anything to set before me and I need some bread. I'm sorry, I'm in bed with my kids. The door's locked. Go away. You're not getting nothing. And what happens? Nuh-uh, you're getting up. You're getting up. I need some bread to set before this person. You're getting up. And you know how it is. Sooner or later, you ain't sleeping with that going on. And you're going to get up. Well, see, here's the message. Is that we all have people that have come to us on their long journey. They're on a journey. And honestly, as Jesus said, of my own self, I can do nothing. We don't have anything of our own self to set before people. But we can go to the Father and we can knock on his door. Say, Lord, I need something to give to this person, to feed them, to send them on their journey further. And the Scripture says they did not get up because they were his neighbor and friend. They got up because of his persistent knocking. If you continually ask, you shall receive. If you continually seek, you shall find. If you continually knock, the door will be open to you. Not it might, it will be. And he goes on to say, you men who are evil know how to give good gifts, right? If your son asks for a fish, are you going to give him a snake, right? If he asks for bread, are you going to give him a stone? And then in the same passage in Luke 11, it says, if you men who are evil know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so as we ask and we're hungry for this thing, you know, James, what does James say? It says that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. And but if he asks, let him ask in faith without doubting. For one who doubts is like the tossing of the sea. Let not that man consider that he should receive anything, right? So James sets it up that faith is a prerequisite for receiving from the Lord when we ask. What that means is, let's not say, Oh, Lord, give me something. Oh, he's not going to give me nothing. I'm not getting anything. I guess he's not giving me nothing. No, there's an expectation. You know, I don't know how many people saw the thing I put on Facebook about the lady in Haiti, the missionary in Haiti. Anybody see that? One? This lady in Haiti, they prayed for this lady who was blind. Like, she was stone blind. She had no, her eyesight, she couldn't see at all. And they prayed for her, nothing happened. They prayed again, nothing happened. Prayed again, nothing happened. And then she said, well, here's my seven-year-old, let him pray for you. He prays. All of a sudden, they don't give up. There's a team. They're surrounding this lady. They get the little kid to pray. All of a sudden, she starts to see a light. She's like, I see a light. And they kept praying. And then the next thing you know, she's like, I see a little kid walking around. And then there was a little kid that was walking in front of them. And all of a sudden, this blind lady totally regained her sight. And when she was telling that testimony, I thought, man, how often do we give up too soon because we don't see something immediately, and so we say, oh, well, I guess God's not doing it. I think sometimes we abort our own spiritual babies because we don't see it and feel it like we think we should, and so we give up on it and kill the very thing that God was birthing in us. We have got to begin to believe again. And not, we walk by faith and not by sight. So it's an encouragement. It's not to beat us up. There's therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We're walking in grace. But in that grace, let us stop continuing to doubt that God's going to do what he said he was going to do. He's going to. And so the first thing we have to do is pray in expectation. Mark 11, 24, all things you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. Everybody catch that? All things you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it shall be granted to you. That works in the prophetic. When you ask God for a word, he's going to give it to you. So the first thing is hunger and going after it. Just pursue God. I used to spend literally like all day long, I would just, even while I was working, I was like, God, you've got to speak to me prophetically. I have got to hear your voice. I went through about a year where I like every day I was crying out. Like all, I mean, what felt like all day long. And I started seeing God speak to me because I was pursuing it with all my heart. God is not a respecter of persons. He can use every single one of you as mightily as he used anybody in the Bible. Because it doesn't depend on the flesh that we walk around in. It depends on the Holy Spirit that he gives to us. And so it should raise our expectation that, man, God wants to use me. You need to believe. Everybody say that. God wants to use me. Say it again. God wants to use me. We need to believe that. He does. So the next thing up is we talked about being filled up with the word. I'm going to go through this quick because I want to make sure we're doing some of this stuff. But get filled up on the word. The Bible talks about a more sure word of prophecy in 2 Peter, I believe it is. And, you know, Jesus, the Son of God, he spent his childhood digging in the word, growing in the word. We've talked about that in the message, Digging Our Well. It's on the podcast if y'all want to relook at that. But there is something important, just like he did with Ezekiel. He said to eat the scroll, and once he ate the scroll, then the Lord said, go and prophesy. We need to eat this thing. Thirdly, faithfulness. You know, Matthew 25, 23, if you've been faithful in a little thing, he will make you a ruler over much. If you want to grow in the prophetic, use the words that he gives you. When he gives you a dream for somebody, share it. When he gives you a word for somebody, share it with them. If you're afraid and you don't want to, do it anyway. Do it. Step out. Use the thing that he's given you, and he will multiply to you when you begin to use what he's given you. So if you want to grow in it, just be faithful with the little stuff. If you want really high-level words of knowledge, then you have to be willing to walk in just the little tiny things that he gives you. You don't just all of a sudden wake up and you're walking in that. You're faithful in a little, and over time, you grow, and he will make you a ruler over much. All right, now this is the last one. Not that this is an exhaustive list. It's not. But this is the last thing on my list. Four things for growing in the prophetic. John 13, and I think this is one of the biggest keys. Now, this is the Last Supper. And Jesus is knowing that he's about to be betrayed. And we have Judas there, and who was about to betray him. And let's go down to verse 21. When Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." The disciples began to look at one another at a loss to know of which one he was speaking. There was reclining on Jesus' breast one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore gestured to him and said to him, "Tell us who it is, who he is speaking." He, leaning back thus on Jesus' breast, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus therefore answered, "That is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him." So when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. I think one of the biggest keys to recognizing how to grow in the prophetic is to learn to be like John the disciple, who learned to lay on Jesus' chest. You know, it's interesting to me that the one person that could ask that question and get the answer, it was the person that spent his time, actually, he decided, "I'm laying on Jesus." There was something in him that so desired closeness to the Lord that he was willing to risk rejection or whatever it was that kept the other people from getting that close. And he went in and he laid his head on his chest. And he was able to receive the revelation because of his proximity to Jesus. And I think one of the keys for us really growing in the prophetic is our proximity to Jesus. How close are we to him? We need to develop intimacy with the Lord. The closer you are, the more you lay your head on his chest, the more time you spend being intimate with him, the greater ability we have to receive from him. And I think that's one of the biggest keys, is growing in our intimacy, being that disciple that'll lay his head on the breast of Jesus. Does that make sense?